Thank you, worship team. Good morning. Good morning. It's great to see you, buddy. Welcome to our service. It's great to be worshiping together. Thanks, Carrie, for leading in Susan's absence this morning. And thanks to Bella for jumping in on the mic. First time, I think, if I recall, unless I'm forgetting some a couple times. Okay, awesome. Well, I love our worship team, and they do a great job, whether it's the entire group up here or people are traveling and it's just a small group. So I thank our worship team for all that they do. So grab your notes. We are in part four of our series that we've been in this summer, Wise, Unwise. Next week, I'm going to be out of town on vacation, and Gideon is going to be here teaching. You don't want to miss that. He always does a great, great job. He just has some unique perspective on Scripture and on how to apply that to our lives. So come back next week if you are in town. Don't miss that. August 5th, I'll be back, and we will finish this series up. And then on August 12th, Joseph and Jennifer, I mentioned this last week, Joseph and Jennifer Kagunda are going to be here from Kenya. They are in Canada right now visiting friends and going to a conference. They've been there for about a month, and we managed to get them down here for about a week to spend with us. And so they will be here telling us lots of good things going on about Tanya. And we are getting ready to launch in August, September time frame, kind of a small campaign to help raise some funds for Tanya so that they can get off of their dependence on the electrical system there, which is very expensive and not very, what's the word, what's that?
Reliable.
Reliable, that's the word I'm trying to find. Thanks, Ed. Not very reliable. And they will tell a little bit more about this, but when they have no electricity, either because they couldn't pay the bill because it was so much or because it's just out, which happens, they have no water because that runs their pump. They're not able to irrigate crops, which feed the kids. And so it's just a vicious cycle. So we've talked to them for the last several months about this project and what it would take. And so we're going to be introducing you to that over the next few months. He'll talk more about that when he's here. So you don't want to miss. Put that on your calendar, August 12th, so that you can meet Joseph and Jennifer and hear from them. So that's where we're headed. Today, as we continue the series, what we've been doing, if you've been out traveling and now you're back, basically we've been focused on just one question in this series. And the challenge is that at every opportunity we have, every invitation we get, and every decision that we have to make, that we would just hit the pause button long enough to ask this question and then to act on this question. And we're looking at this question kind of from three different areas of our lives or three different seasons in our life. So here's the question we've been looking at. In light of my past experience, my current circumstance, my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing for me to do? And all of us, we all have different paths, don't we? And all of us, we're at different stages of life, and all of us have different hopes and dreams, and what's wise for you may not be wise for me based on my past or my current circumstances or where I want to be one day. And the wise thing for me may not be the wise thing for you. And this question, it goes beyond simply what's right and wrong, what's legal, what's not, what's the most I can get away with, and what is everybody else doing? This is a question, as I said on week one, this is a question that if we ask and act on it, it has the potential to save us a lot of time, to save us a lot of money, and to save us a lot of regret in life. Now, we all have regrets, don't we? All of us can probably go back and look back on a season in our life where we would love to be able to go back into that season of life or that weekend of life or that spring break of our life or that previous relationship or that bad decision and ask this question, right? And as we think about our greatest regret, what I thought we would do is kind of do a little interactive thing today. I thought we would just stop for a second and just maybe turn to the person next to you and just tell them what your greatest regret in life is. I'm just kidding. Time out. Don't actually do that. If you could see some of your faces right now, I was covered because there's nobody next to me. I wasn't sweating at all. But seriously, when you think about your greatest regrets, the truth is when you look back on your greatest regret, you probably ask yourself a question something like this. How could I have been so foolish? Right? How could I have been so foolish? Or maybe you think about it this way. Maybe you think about it with this question of I should have seen it coming. I should have seen it coming. You know, looking back, really, it's 2020, isn't it? It's like I should have seen it coming. You know, if I just paid attention to all the things that she said, there were so many warning signals. If I just paid attention to all the things that he said, there were so many clues there. You know, if when I interviewed for that job, if I had just if I just paid attention, there were so many red flags. Why didn't I see it coming, right? Or the salesperson, you know, that salesperson, I should have listened more carefully, because if I'd seen all the red flags, I'd have known that was a bad deal. And 0% financing, my parents warned me about that stuff, but the salesman said basically, you know, the more you spend, the more you save. So I thought like I was getting a savings plan or something like that, right? Right. So we all had, you know, I should have seen it coming. So as we look back and we think, I should have seen this coming. But here's the thing about that statement, I should have seen it coming. Let's talk about that for just a second. I should have seen it coming. Here's the deal. If you should have seen it coming, then chances are somebody else in your life did see it coming. If you should have seen it coming, in other words, when you look back at that circumstance in which you made a bad decision or an unwise decision, chances are you look back at that relationship, you spent that money, you took that job, whatever it is, if you look back and you think, man, I should have seen it coming, then chances are somebody in your life did see it coming. And either you didn't listen to them or they didn't tell you. And the reason they didn't tell you was probably because they didn't think you would what? Listen. That's right. But I guarantee you, in the big areas of your life where you look back and you say, why didn't I see that coming? Somebody saw it coming. If you're like 17, 18, 19 years old and you're kind of still dealing with high school, or maybe getting ready to go to college, or just finish your first year of college, something like that, and you think, you know, man, how could I have been so foolish? Why didn't I see that coming? I guarantee you somebody at home saw it coming, right? And they probably did their best to bring it up with you and talk to you about it. Somebody saw it coming. In fact, if you're a student and you still live at home, this is the challenge between you and your parents, isn't it? Because they can't help it, especially your mama, all right? But they see everything coming, don't they? Because they've got like your whole life. They see your whole life ahead of you. They've got it all planned out in the back of your heads. They see it coming, and it's difficult to listen to those people, right? But somebody in your life sees it coming. So if that's true, if we should have seen it coming and either didn't listen or nobody told us, then here's the question that I think we need to ask. And this is a big question, and it kind of sets us up for where we're going today. But it's this: why is it that we can't see it coming, but someone else can? Why is it that we can't see it coming, but other people can? Let me turn that around and say it this way. Why can I see trouble coming in your life, but you can't? And why can you see trouble coming in my life, but I can't? Why is it that I know exactly what you should do, but you don't? And why is it that if I were to tell you my story, you would know exactly what I should do, but I don't? And what can we do about that? Because I think all of us are basically the same in this, that we don't want to get down the road to another season in our life and look back on this season of our life and say, man, how could I be so foolish? Why didn't I see that coming? So why is that? Why can't we see it coming? Here's part of it, and I think this is a big part of why we don't see things that other people do. It's because emotionally charged environments are not ideal for decision making. Emotionally charged environments are not ideal for decision making. And just about every decision making environment is emotionally charged, aren't they? Especially the big ones in life. Emotionally charged environments are not good environments for decision making, and yet every decision, big decision, involves emotions. So what happens is our emotions, they make what's obvious less obvious. And so when it's you, the emotions just kind of cloud the entire decision-making process. But for me, because I'm on the outside looking in, I'm not messed up by your emotions. So I can see clearly now, right? The rain has gone, right? And you're in the middle of the storm, and I'm above the clouds. No obstacles are in my way or anything like that. And you're surrounded by all of these obstacles, and you're going, what should I do? I don't know what to do. And your friends and the people around you are going, you can't see that? You don't get that? You don't know what you should do in that situation? And you just can't see it. And here's why. Because emotions make decisions difficult. And every major decision is full of emotion. This is why I would do a much better job of managing your money than you ever will, right? Because I would never make an impulse buy with your money. I would never do that. You'd say, hey, David, can I spend some money on this? And I would say, no, you don't need that. That's a bad decision. And you'd go, but please, no, but I want it. I'd say, no, I'm not going to do that. If you're a parent, you know this, don't you? You know, you take your kids into the store, and I don't know if you've noticed this, but I did when my kids were young. They put all the stuff that kids like and want on the lower shelf. Have you noticed that? So it's right in front of their eyes. And what happens? As soon as they pick that thing up, there's ownership, isn't there? There's emotion that comes into this, and they want it. And mom and dad, and your mom and dad, and you control the money, and you're not spending it on one more of those dumb things, are you? Because there's already three of them at home, and two of them are broken. And so you have such great objectivity, and you're able to make much better financial decisions for your kids because you control the money and you're not emotionally attached to it. Do you know that you and I, we never ever outgrow that? That as soon as your emotions get attached to a thing, you are prone to make a bad financial decision. And if I was holding your wallet or if I was holding your credit card, I would say to you, you don't need that, let's go home. And I would just take you just right home like you do your kids when they were little, right? I would make way better decisions about your money than you do. And the same holds true for you and me. You would make much better decisions about my money than I do. And here's why. Because financial decisions are not emotionally neutral decisions. And the same is true with our kids, right? I mean, the same is true in parenting. I mean, don't you know exactly what your neighbor should do about their kids, right? You know exactly how your neighbor should be parenting your kids. You know, if that was my son, I'd do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, and you could just roll it off. If that was my daughter, I'd never let my daughter do that, right? And maybe you don't even have kids. Maybe you're single. Maybe you're just married or something like that, but you don't have kids. But you look at the way parents deal with their kids, and you know exactly what they should do, don't you? You know all about raising kids. It's just so clear to you. But then you have your own kids, and you just live in a fog for like 18 or 19 years, don't you, you know? But before I had kids, I mean, I knew all about how to raise your kids before I had my own kids. But now that I have my own, why is it so hard? Because parenting is emotional, and marriage is emotional, and relationships are emotional, and money and finances are emotional, and it's why we look back and we have this amazing clarity, and we go, why didn't I see it? And the reason you didn't see it is because you were in the middle of it, and the emotion, it fogs your judgment. And because there's anger, and there's fear, and there's bitterness, and there's greed, and there's all of this stuff that just rises to the surface with our emotions, and we're trying to make a decision in the middle of all that. So here's the question. What is the wise thing to do when our emotions are high and our appetites are charged? What is the wise thing to do when our emotions are high and our appetites are charged? What is the wise thing to do if we really want to look back and say, I made the right decision there? I made the wise decision there. In light of my past experience, my current circumstances, and future hopes and dreams, I really want to make wise decisions. I really want to live with fewer regrets. I don't want to waste any more time. I don't want to waste any more money. But I don't know what to do because of this emotional situation. What does the wise person do in an emotionally charged environment where our appetites are in full force and all of a sudden we've got our eyes or our heart on somebody or something and there's a decision to be made? Well, the answer is one word, and it's the word listen. Listen. Because you don't see it coming, but I guarantee you, somebody sees it coming, and the wise person listens. In fact, wise people recognize when they are in no condition to decide for themselves by themselves. Wise people are the ones who hit the pause button and go, this is emotional, and I am more likely to make the wrong decision in the middle of this emotion if I'm not careful. Wise people know when they are in no condition to decide for themselves by themselves. So that brings us to the Bible part this morning. And we're going to look again at the book of Proverbs. And Proverbs, I told you, was written by a guy named Solomon. And Solomon was the wisest man who lived in his time. He was King David's son, so David and Goliath guy. And Solomon was the third king of Israel. Solomon lived during, and he reigned during what was called the golden age of Israel, where Israel had basically as much power as they would ever have. And their armies were as powerful as they would ever be. And the amount of reach that they had in terms of land was as much as it would ever be. And God, as we're going to see in just a minute, God gave Solomon the gift of wisdom. He didn't learn it the hard way like you and I do. He didn't learn it by experience. God gave it to him. God said, you know what? I'm going to give some people the ability to just hear a song and then just go and play it. And I'm going to get other people the gift of just being able to look at a math problem and instantly know the answer without having to work it. And Solomon, I'm going to give you the gift of wisdom. And Solomon was so wise that his reputation wasn't that he was rich, even though that he was one of the richest men in the world at that time. And it wasn't that he was powerful, although he was probably one of the most powerful men in the world at the time. His reputation in the world was his wisdom. And here's what 1 Kings tells us about Solomon. It says, God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand of the seashore. So he just got this incredible, incredible amount of wisdom. And then it says, and his fame spread to all the surrounding nations. From all nations, people came to, and here's our word, came to listen to Solomon's wisdom, sent by all the kings of the world who had heard of his wisdom. So when kings and other world leaders had a big, big decision to make, what they would do is they would say, you know, I know exactly who we need to talk to about this. We need to talk to Solomon about this. And so they would call in one of their guys, and they would load them up with all this gold and all this silver. It's one of the ways Solomon got to be so rich. And he would say, you go to Israel, you go to Jerusalem, and you get in line. And you stand in line until you get an audience with the king, because I want you to ask him my question, because he has the answer that we've been looking for. He was just that wise. So people would line up, and in some cases, they would stay for days or even months in order to get just a short audience with King Solomon, because he could just hear a situation. And his understanding was so strong that he just had this incredible, incredible amount of wisdom. So here's the good news. The good news is you and I don't have to stand in line for that, because Solomon wrote a whole bunch of this stuff down. And he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, and Gideon's actually going to introduce us to the book of Ecclesiastes next week. So if you're in town, don't miss that. It's an incredible, incredible book. It's a deep book. It's a difficult book. But it's a book just full of really good stuff. So be here for that next week. Solomon wrote the book of Song of Songs, sometimes it's called. And you can just figure out for yourself what that's all about. If you have never read Song of Solomon, parents, don't read this to your young kids at night, because you'll end up with more questions than you have answers for. Okay? And those of you who are wondering what I'm talking about, just read it. You'll know. And then he wrote the book of Proverbs. And the book of Proverbs, Solomon draws from his vast wisdom that God has given to him. And he just gives us, in this book, he just gives a whole bunch of one-liners, just a bunch of kind of wisdom nuggets. And here's the interesting thing. The wisest man in the world said more in the book of Proverbs about seeking counsel than any other ancient writer said. The wisest man in the world said more about seeking counsel than any other biblical writer wrote about. The man who needed the counsel the least, Solomon, spoke and wrote about it the most. Because the wisest man in the world, he knew this. He knew that you and I were going to be in situations and we weren't going to be able to see it coming, but somebody else would. And if we are wise enough to invite them into the decision-making process, he knew that we would gain some clarity and we would make some wiser decisions as we walk through life. So here's some of the wisdom from Proverbs. And I would encourage you to read the book of Proverbs. You can read it in a month if you read a chapter a day. It's that easy. But here's kind of a snapshot from the book of Proverbs. Here's what Solomon says. First, he says, instruct the wise and they will be wiser still. In other words, speak to the wise, counsel the wise, and they will get even more wisdom. They will become wiser still. And then look at this one. A wise man will hear and increase his learning, and a man of understanding will acquire. And this word acquire means to seek out. Or in our case, it probably means, you know, to pay for or bring in a consultant or go to a counselor. But a wise person will, a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. Here's another wisdom nugget from Solomon. He says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. A fool is right in his own eyes, Solomon says. In other words, I don't need any outside advice. You know, I see everything I need to see, and I can make all the decisions by myself. He says, but a wise person isn't the person who needs counsel. A wise person is the person who listens to counsel. That they never think they're so wise that they don't need any outside input. And then here's the next verse. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. I mean, the wisest man in the world, Solomon, he says, here's my counsel to you. Get lots of advisors. Have lots of people around you. Don't go it alone. Don't think that you're so smart or don't think that you're so wise that you can see everything in coming. Invite other people into the conversation and get advice. A couple more from Solomon. He says, listen to advice and accept discipline. That's correction. It's like, you know, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't call them. I wouldn't take that job if I were you. Listen to advice and accept discipline. And in the end, remember future hopes and dreams? Our future hopes and dreams. In the end, you will be counted among wise. And then the last one, where there is strife. And when he says where there is strife, this is a relational proverb. Where there is strife, there is pride. But wisdom is found in those who take advice. Now, here's the deal. I have not said anything so far I don't think that any of us haven't already heard, right? I mean, this is not new stuff. This is not rocket science, and this is not a new one. But the question is this. Why don't we do this? I mean, why don't we do this? All of us would probably agree. Somebody saw it coming, right? That we all know that we've had enough times in our life where we said, you know, I should have seen it coming. You know, I should have seen it coming. How could I be so foolish? I should have seen it coming. And we would probably all agree that somebody saw it coming. So why didn't I listen to them? Or why didn't they feel like they had permission to talk to me about it? And we all know that decision-making environments, that they're full of emotions, and emotions cloud our ability to make wise decisions. And we all know this. We've all experienced this. So why would we ignore a principle that's so obvious to us and that we've actually benefited from along the way? Well, I think one of the reasons is this. I think one of the reasons is we know, right? We already know what the wise person is going to say, and we just don't want to hear it, do we? And this might be a little offensive to some of you, but Solomon, the wisest man who lived in his day, that many people would travel far away to listen to his advice. Solomon says that if you know what the wise thing is to do and you just don't do it, he has a term for that. He says, and I'll let you finish the sentence. He says, you are a fool. Yeah. He says, you're a fool. A foolish person is one who knows the difference between right and wrong and just doesn't care and chooses wrong anyway. So that's one of the reasons I think we don't listen. We know what they're going to say, and we just don't really want to hear what they're going to say. But I think there's another reason we do this too, and it's this, that we just think it's nobody's business, right? That it's my money. It's my kids. It's my marriage. It's my job. It's my career. It's my life. I mean, how many times have you and I said this sentence? This is my decision. I just have to decide for myself. Do you know what that is right there? You know what it is? It's pride. It's pride. I mean, remember what we just read? It says, where there is strife, there's pride. But wisdom is found in those who take advice. So let me close. Let me ask a question, then we'll be done. I should have seen it coming, right? I should have seen it coming. Somebody saw it coming. So here's my question to you this morning. Are you going to invite them in? Are you going to invite them in? Somebody saw it coming. Are you going to invite them in? Somebody can see what you can't see. Are you going to invite them into the conversation? Somebody can see what you're pretending you don't want to see. Are you going to invite them in to the decision-making process? See, wise people know what they don't know, and they're not afraid to engage the people who do know. Wise people know what they don't know, and they're not afraid, and they're not too prideful to go to the people who do know. Wise people know when the emotions and the appetites are so enraged that they'd better hit the pause button and invite someone into the conversation with them. So one more time, in light of our past experience, current circumstances, and future hopes and dreams. Listen. Listen. And if you will listen, God will use the voices of the people around you to guide you and to guard you, and to ensure that you never have to look back on another season of your life, another relationship, another decision, and wonder, why didn't I see that coming? Let me pray for you. God, thank you for Solomon. And God, I thank you for the gift of wisdom that you just poured into him, that he poured into people in his day. And because he wrote it down, he's pouring it into us today. And God, there's so much wisdom in Scripture. God, there's so much wisdom around us and the people that you surround us with as well. So God, for all of us, as we think about the decisions that we have to make, as we think about the opportunities that we have in life, as we think about the invitations that come our way, God, help us to pause and help us to ask this question. Help us to look back at our past, at our current circumstances, and help us look towards where we want to be one day and ask this question, what is the wise thing for us to do? Help us to invite other people in to help us to see what that is. And then God, help us to act on it so that we, when we get to the next season of our life, we don't have to look back and see the damage that we did in this season and the regret that we now have. And we don't have to look back and say, why didn't I see that coming? Because God, we know that somebody will see it coming. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.